That Great Business Show, Ireland's best business podcast.
Welcome to episode 163 of That Great Business Show, where we bring you more great tips, insights, and unique business opportunities on every episode, delivered in our commute-friendly package thanks to our sponsor, daft.ie, Ireland's number one property website. If you're looking for your first home, or maybe you're looking to upsize or downsize, make sure you visit daft.ie to find your next place that you can call home. I'm Conal Amora in Fáil Tí Isteach. Coming up, cheap energy as rising energy prices make doing business more difficult. We have a company that can cut your electricity bill by 40%. Also, attracting visitors, we have a tourism entrepreneur who has some clever ideas to make his attraction more attractive. And it's our final call for anyone wanting to win two Aer Lingus flights to Hartford, Connecticut in the US. We're about to close our competition and we'll announce a winner on episode 164, which will also feature the governor of Connecticut, Ned Lamont, who wants you to base your US HQ in his beautiful state. The next parish over from Ireland, as he likes to say. For your chance to win that prize, just sign up at thatgreatbusinessshow.com. You're busy, we keep it simple. All these tips and insights are brought to you thanks to daft.ie, Ireland's number one property website, the best place to buy or sell your home in Ireland.
If it's for sale, it's on daft.ie, Ireland's number one property website. Whether you're looking for your first home or planning your next move, make sure you're on daft.ie, the best place to buy or sell in Ireland.
Travel to Connecticut, USA with Aer Lingus service to Bradley International Airport. With the daily flights from Dublin to Hartford, we make business travel to Connecticut easy. Save time with US pre-clearance, enjoy Aer Lingus award-winning flight service, and experience the convenience of Bradley International Airport, perfectly situated for your travel needs. Learn more and plan your next business trip at aerlingus.com.
Everyone in business wants cheaper energy, and cheaper electricity is the offer from Urban Volt, a company I've taken an interest in since it started. The offer is simple. They'll put solar panels on the roof of your business. You do not have to dip into your own pocket. They pay for the installation. Then they sell you the power generated by the roof panels for up to 40% cheaper than your current supplier. So what's not to like? Well, nothing I can think of. The Dublin-based company has recently raised another 26 million euro in equity to drive its expansion across Europe. And Kevin Maughan is the man who has been driving Urban Volt for over 8 years now. Kevin, welcome to That Great Business Show.
Thank you very much, Conal. It's a pleasure to be here.
And we had a little chat just now, and one of the things you said, and I just smiled, is you were too early to the party. Explain.
Well, there's an old business phrase that goes, you know, there's worse things than being wrong in business and having the wrong idea, and that is being right, but too early. When you're wrong, at least you can accept you're wrong, fold up, close up shop and move on. Take your losses. When you know you're right and you're waiting for the market to come and it takes a lot longer than you think, you end up burning a lot of money while you're waiting to become right. And I think that's the case for Urban Volt. We've been doing it 8 years. Originally, we thought the market would be open for business and everyone would be snapping up our offer. And we'd be selling everything like hotcakes. But that took quite a while for the market to actually embrace sustainability. Now we're finding there's a pull side to the economics of our model. So the market we're definitely being pulled along by the market.
Tell me about the stress times, did you? It's a serious question. Did you ever think of packing it in?
Do you know what? It's tough. I think when you're a founder of a business, you have this vision and you are constantly selling it to investors, to customers, to staff, to try and attract good people to share your vision, and to yourself probably for part of the time. There were several times where you sort of asked yourself, are we really sort of deploying this investor capital in an efficient way? Are we doing the right thing here? Is this market going to take much longer? And then you kind of have to go back to, your original vision. And I think the difference between success and failure oftentimes is just perseverance. And it's, you know, you run a marathon, it's mile 24 is the really hard part. And just on the other side of all the pain is where success lies. So we're just through, coming through that threshold now.
And did you ever think of giving it up?
No, not really. I think in my darkest hours when it was really tough and you're running out of cash again and you're trying to go and find more investors to invest in this concept that you have that isn't fully proven. You go, God, there must be an easier thing to do. Why do I do this to myself? But then you think, you know what, you're doing something special is hard. And if it wasn't hard, then everyone would be doing it. So I think it's...
And a little bit of history, though, is that you started by, you were putting in lights.
Yes, our gateway drug, as we call it, when we entered the market, was LED lighting into... We were doing it in all sorts of places, all sorts of businesses. We quickly discovered that commercial and industrial, particularly big industrial buildings, were the best bang for the buck. It still remains a phenomenal investment for clients. It gives you the quickest return. It is the most profitable thing to do. Energy efficiency is incredibly profitable if you do it right for the client, but it's not sexy. So no one can really see efficiency. You can't touch it. It disappears very quickly. Efficiency is never, I think globally, has never really taken off. Efficiency, LED lighting has, obviously, but it's not as sexy as renewable energy. People much prefer to talk about that. And we're finding now that we are still in the lighting business. We still do LED lighting retrofits. And now we do it for most of our customers who sign up for solar are signing up for an LED retrofit as well, if they haven't already done one.
And the main business now, as you say, is solar. But you have to admit, got very lucky because... technology came and kissed you as well.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? Lucky, yes. But you know what they say, the harder you work, the luckier you get.
Oh, well, come on. The actual panels are so much more efficient now.
They are. We always intended to roll out other technologies after lighting, mainly solar and battery storage. And battery storage will come now next year. We'll start rolling that out to our customer base. But solar, yes, the efficiencies drove up during that 7 or 8 year period. The efficiencies ramped up.
By how much, can you remember?
I can't. Listen, don't pin me down on technical details.
But it's a chunk anyway.
It was a good chunk. They're probably 50% more efficient than they were, say, a decade ago. And it's that delta is the thing that makes a model like ours able to do it. So the cost is the same, but you're generating 50% more energy than you were a decade ago. So it now becomes viable for us to make an investment and install a solar array on somebody's big industrial building and just sell them the power as they consume it.
I saw somebody on a video, now of course you can see anything on a video these days, but I did see somebody moaning about solar farms. And I was thinking, hang on a second now, what is wrong with a solar farm?
I don't understand why you would moan about a solar farm. You can barely see them. You'd need to be standing next to it to see it. They don't cause any noise. They're not unsightly. They're pretty much maintenance free.
And you can also sit them up off the ground so that you can have sheep in it and else going around.
Yeah, funnily enough, I was looking at something recently about 4 months ago about in California, they're testing them on farms because in drought-ridden areas, they're great for preventing the sort of moisture leaving the soil as quickly. And they're growing different types of crops under them quite successfully. So I think the future is bright for solar. I mean, I would say that.
He said, having just raised 26 million euro, which is a chunk of money.
It is. It was a healthy chunk of money. The business, I think, to grow rapidly is going to require that funding and probably more in the future.
And all of the press releases say Europe, Europe, Europe. But are you actually going to drive Europe?
Yeah, well, we have customers in 9 countries from our lighting business. So we have contacts in a lot of places in Europe where I think our focus, though, is still Irish market through the end of this year. We've just signed up our first UK clients for solar over the last couple of months. They're getting installed now. The UK is a big market for us. And I think because it's underserved for solar as a service, there's no one really doing it the way we do it. There are people in Germany, for instance, who are sort of doing the same model we're doing, not exactly the same, but a similar outcome for the client. So we think the UK is the big growth market for us. And this investment, a big chunk of that is earmarked for UK expansion.
And is Kevin Moan going to have to move to the UK?
I don't know. Do you know what? We've come so far in this business, the journey. I've it wouldn't, I would be happy to move to the UK if I thought that that would jumpstart the success or help to deliver a sort of an outsized performance for the business, then I absolutely, I'm definitely going to have to spend a lot of time there for the next 18 months. But moving there, not sure yet.
Oh, yet. We'll see.
We'll see.
So what's the future of solar? If we have, I think we're tipping into peak now. I think, well, anything I read, and I do read an awful lot about this, is that they've said, you know, that's about it. There does come a time
efficiency-wise.
Yeah.
Look, I think there may be small incremental improvements now. We're at the sort of marginal increase level. There's some now dual fascia solar panels where they put a second skin of solar under the top one. Now, you only produce another 10% by doing that, but it's very expensive to do it. Oh. I don't think it's cost effective right now. I don't think there's going to be a huge jump in the current technology. There are other technologies that people are obviously working on. You read about them every day, but I think we're 10 years away from a significant jump. There are technologies you can use, but you know, you don't want to be putting postage stamps all over the roof of your building. You need it at scale and for it to work in a predictable manner. And I think that is a decade away.
Batteries, they are not just the future, they are now. Thank you, Mr. Tesla.
Batteries are now. It's quite amazing. And that's one of the things I think that's taken the traditional electricity industry by shock is that how fast solar has rolled out. And battery now is becoming more and more affordable. I mean, it was around €1 million for a megawatt of battery storage, which is, you know, big chunk of money if you want to put it on a bit next to a building. But it's
Can tell what a megawatt energy is.
But you know what? I'm in the industry and I don't know. Would it fit in the boot of your car?
I had a person
would it fill
on
a warehouse?
And we discussed wind generation and 7 gigawatts is what Ireland needs. But
I think that is what we need.
Thank you for agreeing with me without knowing. But the batteries is a megawatt. Is it a lot or?
It's a fair amount. It's like a
what
large.
Would it keep going?
I suppose a large industrial building. Our average size installation right now would be about 250 to 300 kilowatts. A large industrial building a medium sized industrial building that would probably keep it going. That would be about 25% of its consumption for the year, maybe 35%. A megawatt is a decent amount. Someone spending, a megawatt is a million kilowatt hours. So if you're spending 15 cents, 20 cents for a kilowatt, then whatever that is, that's about 200 grand's worth of electricity. So it's not a small number. And then a gigawatt is 1,000 megawatts. So you start scaling up into big numbers then.
But is the cost presumably goes up at the same time?
Yeah, well, it's if you're including the battery storage is falling at the same rate, so not quite as quickly as solar did when it began.
You mean the price?
The price, the cost, for the hardware.
Yeah.
The problem with battery storage is there's different types of battery storage, and that's how fast do you need to cycle the energy? Do you need to be using the energy every 20 minutes or pulling or drawing off it? Do you need to leave it there as a deep cycle so it slowly fills and then you slowly discharge it, or you need to store it for a long period of time? So there's a different requirement for battery storage in your house than would be for a big industrial company. So you have to get the right technology. Now, none of them have been around really long enough to say, you know, definitively, I can amortize the cost of this because there's a useful life cycle of 10 or 20 years, whatever the number is. Everyone's sort of assuming it's 10 years. I think it's longer than that, but that's to be proven. There's also losses in retention over a period of time. So a lot of the problem with this is, and I go back to this was my finance background, is how do you finance these? So unless you know what a really truly useful life is and what the total output over that period of time and amortize the cost over that period, you can't really build a model around it.
Well, hang on a second. If you think of that in any industry with any new machinery, any new technology, that must be the same argument.
It is, and that's why traditionally people sell it to people up front, because the provider of it does not want to take any of the risk on the long term. Our model is completely different. We actually take all of the risk with our solar panels. So we put them in, it's our cost, we maintain them. If there's any degradation in output, it's a loss in income for Urban Vault. So the same will be with battery storage. So we need to make sure we pick the right storage solution that works for our clients and works for us. So We're working on a model right now. We'll have that perfected, I think, by the end of this year, and then we'll be rolling out battery storage. But the big driver there is that it allows our customer to consume all of the power, even if they're over-generating, so they can store it. We can sell it into the grid. They can sell it into the grid. There's all sorts of models happen once you start putting battery storage in place.
We won't go into the selling to the grid.
Don't get me started. If you could give them it, you couldn't even give it to the grid right now. They won't take it.
That's mad.
It is... I don't know. It's fucking ridiculous.
It's what it is. Makes no sense.
We have clients who over generate. We're over generating on the roof. We would nearly give it to them. No, can't take it.
You must have discussed to find out why is the thinking so negative. We're talking about the ESB, correct?
Yeah, which is to be honest. A state government-owned body. Now, they say semi-state because 5% is owned by the management in some kind of very dark grey share option scheme.
It's an ESOP, and that's been there forever.
Forever. Very grey, murky waters there, but no one really knows who owns those shares.
With the ESB and the 95% that they own, why would they, in your thinking, not want... Like, it's public policy, correct?
Well, we are meant to go green. If you speak to Eamon Ryan, it is. I mean, we have all sorts of initiatives. Now, I'm not sure a single one of them has happened. I sort of sit in amazement. I look back and laugh every time there's some kind of an announcement.
I can't laugh because, it's sad.
We have tried to change it. Like, we have enough funding. We could do pretty much... schools initiative is a great one because it's topical. It was in the papers recently. Stories became government policy. Every school was going to have solar. And I don't think a single one has done it, according to the last article I read. Now, we made an offer where we could do every single school in Ireland within 18 months.
Who did you make that offer to?
I'm not going to hang anyone right now. No, but to the Department of Education.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, no, look, to the Department of Education. And no one's really interested in it. And like, it's not going to cost the taxpayer anything. There's an immediate cash saving, so every school is going to be more profitable or have more money for their budget, education budget. But, I don't know, no requirement from the Exchequer. We'll manage it all. No, but no one seems to be interested. All we hear is there's not enough money, but then we're giving away grants, which don't really ever happen. The grants, every time there's an initiative, someone like Urban Vault makes a break in the market and demonstrates a sustainable solution using outside capital. Different government departments declare some grant that then when you read the fine print, you have to spend the money first, then you're not sure if you'll get it back, and there's only so much in the pot, and you never know who gets it. It's usually large multinationals or first in line to get it.
You're beginning to sound bitter and twisted.
Well, do you know, that's why we focus very much on our core market, which is the sort of commercial and industrial user who's...
Larger ones, though, isn't
larger
it?
Larger ones. It depends. We've done like several chains of kind of hardware stores or retail locations. As long as there's sort of multiple units, each one of those would be... One of them we did about 70 locations, but we treated that as one transaction. Even though it was 70 locations, because they're smaller individual installations, but we knocked them out in less than a day, each one of those. So it's profitable.
You managed to put it up in a day?
Yeah.
That's pretty efficient. You're not up there with your screwdriver, of course.
No.
Because you have external contractors don't you?
So we outsource the bulk of it, which allows us to do it at scale.
How many panels would go up in a day?
Oh God!
Another technical question.
Jeez, you keep hanging me with these, Colin. I said, don't ask me any technical questions.
Like, is it 8? Is it 80? Is it 800? I have no idea.
Well, it depends on the size of the crew. So you can put up, I'm trying to think of a large one that we've done recently. You could put up 1,000 solar panels installed on the roof, and now you have to do separate civil engineering work to connect them to the grid and connect into the panel, which is
to
get them up on the roof. With the racking in place, you do 1,000 solar panels in 5 days.
That's all right.
If you get the right crew, yeah.
Yeah.
No, it can be done at scale. I think we've proved it can be done at scale, which is something that has been missing in the industry, to be honest, and allows us to do it at a lower price. So we were initially took the Henry Ford model of we'd price it, even though on the first 10 or 20 jobs, we did not make any money on. And those first few customers who, if they listen to this, know who they are, they got the deal of the century.
But you had to get it up to us.
Yeah, you have to prove it. And we knew that we would drive cost out of it by generating volume. And that's where we're at that point now.
And you did mention that there are some competitors, but in the UK, how come there aren't that many?
It's a very difficult model to build, because there are people who will do what we call power purchase agreements, which is our business model. It's we make the investment and then you just agree to buy the power for 10, 20 or 30 years. There are other people who will do that, because the model has been around for a decade probably, with large institutional credit quality customers, like a big AAA rated corporate body, big public companies.
I remember you telling me a long time ago that the original idea came out of Switzerland? Does that ring a bell? Was there a Swiss bank or something like that was funding it?
No, well, originally, not this model, but for the lighting, the way we financed the lighting was different. But this one is, so like big corporates would have been able to put up solar, and because the credit rating is so high, some kind of a third party would come in, investors would come in and fund it and sit back and try and clip a coupon as they went along. That was not available for your average business, and you needed to be doing it at a monster scale. So what we did was take the sort of financing rules around that, and we turned it into a general acceptance model. So our PPA, those PPAs would have been 95 pages long. It's power purchase agreements. Ours, one page, like a car rental agreement.
I remember you telling me that you'd simplified that, yeah.
And that takes a lot of work and effort to do, but it has proven to be incredibly robust. Works for the clients, works for us. But it also allows us then to securitize all of the transactions in one portfolio of clients. All have signed the same paperwork, all have signed up to the same terms, agreements. And so we can then credit score a portfolio of clients, and it makes it more attractive to large scale investors, institutional investors, pension funds to go, well, look, this looks like a relatively low risk portfolio of income generating assets.
And it must have happened. Some of the businesses that you have put the power panels onto, they must have failed. What happens then?
Not yet. No, we haven't had one.
No, I don't mean that your panels failed.
No, the business failed. No, we haven't had one yet that's failed. We're pretty good about credit scoring. We've been at this 7.5, 8 years with the lighting business. The lighting assets, not as solid, I would say, as solar assets. And we had, in all that time, I think we had our default rate across the entire lighting portfolio over 7 years was 0.6%.
It's okay.
It's better than any other lending that I've seen. So it's...
Why don't you run a bank?
Well, in truth, that's a part of what Urban Vault really is. We're making investment decisions every day. I mean, I think the clients think we're trying to sell them something, but in truth, we're trying to find a place to park money to get a better yield than you would get somewhere else. And so each solar installation, in truth, goes through an investment committee internally in Urban Vault, and we look at it and we say, okay, well, what's the return on this? What's the risk associated to it? And we try and put it together in such a way that it's beneficial for the clients and beneficial for Urban Vault.
What's the longer plan? Do you want to flip the business or?
No, this business is one of those businesses that doing the right thing is incredibly unprofitable on paper right now. So I think this business is for the long haul, and that's one of the difficulties in finding the right investor base to stay with it for the long haul. You really need to build it up to scale. There's no one that we've seen across Europe has built a business like this at scale. And that there's lots of reasons for that. There's different markets, different languages, different currencies in some cases. And it's an industry that's very technical. So there's a lot of technical people who are building businesses, and we're marketeers rather than engineers. And so I think we're best placed to grow this business and bring our model and overlay it across other businesses who may be in the industry in other markets. And it's a very easy model to overlay. So I'm kind of in this business for the long haul. I can't see a quick flip here.
Not for sale.
Well, no, we're not. It's just one of those businesses. We're on the plane. I've been sitting on the plane waiting for 7 or 8 years. We've been fiddling with the controls, and now we're actually starting to taxi down the runway, and we're just starting to take off.
I'd say if Siemens or one of the larger companies like that come knocking on your door.
Well, they can always come knocking, but I think based on the investor base that we have, the kind of where we're moving for the next 2 or 3 years, I cannot see it happening. I think this is where else would you be? This is going to become an incredibly exciting industry for the next decade.
You know, I'm not certainly not going away anywhere.
You know? No, and I'm a certain age. I'm not going to find another gig as good as this. It's taken a long time to be in the right place at the right time.
Good.
So the company is not for sale.
There is a final question, and I hope you got this in the email that we ask everybody.
Oh no!
Who would you hire in a heartbeat? Did you see that email?
I did not see that email.
Oh, how many people do not see this email? And I've now written it large at the very top.
I'm assuming everybody immediately responds with, well, you, Connell.
No, nobody ever says me, and I think that's very wise.
Yes, God, that is a very tough one.
But there's somebody that you have come across that you said, you know what, they've got the smarts. I'd love to. Like, you've landed on your feet with Stephen Vernon as your chair.
Yeah, Stephen's an exceptional individual. He has done, you know, obviously he's achieved an awful lot in life. He's a very smart man, incredibly charming and really understanding. He's a good person to be able to bounce ideas off of, and has a depth of knowledge that's probably deeper than he even realizes. So he throws out pearls of wisdom that help everyone out.
But you already have him. So who else would you hire in a heartbeat?
I think it's tough. There's one, I think I might have used this answer before.
That's allowed.
But name checking people is kind of a...
It's a good idea, because that's what we ask.
Yeah, I'm trying to...
Your sport. There must be somebody in sport.
I have to say, that would be the obvious one for me, would be Johnny Sexton. But I mean, I'm assuming everybody throws that out.
No, oddly enough, they don't, actually.
And because you rarely see somebody as driven and competitive.
Could you work with them, though?
Probably not. He'd definitely want my job. I mean, so, which in truth is what we're looking for, is people who want, you need to hire better people. I think A players hire other A players, B players hire C players, and C players hire D players.
Yeah.
So, you know, nearly anyone who was on that team, I'd be very happy to come work at Urban Volt. They showed such drive and determination. I think Johnny Sexton would be the one. It's a little obvious, but...
But that's allowed.
Yeah.
Because, there may be a vacancy. That is Kevin Maund. Thank you so much for joining us again on That Great Business Show.
Thanks very much.
That Great Business Show.
De Facto, the revolutionary shaving oil, changing the face of shaving. For the smoothest shave of your life, just add water. No more lathering up or cleaning up afterward. Just add a few drops of water and you're ready to go. De Facto's blend of all natural oils hydrates and protects your skin. No more razor burns or irritation. A spa treatment for your face. Perfect for all skin types and lasts so much longer than traditional foams or gels. De Facto, a shaving revolution. Just add water. Available from selected pharmacies and from defactoshave.com.
Are you buying or selling a home? If it's for sale, it's on daft.ie, Ireland's number one property website.
Travel to Connecticut, USA with Aer Lingus service to Bradley International Airport. With daily flights from Dublin to Hartford, we make business travel to Connecticut easy. Save time with US pre-clearance, enjoy Aer Lingus award-winning flight service, and experience the convenience of Bradley International Airport, perfectly situated for your travel needs. Learn more and plan your next business trip at aerlingus.com.
All That Great Business Show advertisers are Team GBS approved. Back them.
Standing out from the crowd. That's the challenge that faces every business. If you're in the hospitality business, the pressure is on to offer different cuisine, bigger beds, wellness spas. The list goes on. Joining me now is a young man who has just rebranded his family-owned event venue in Stradbally, County Laois. The business, formerly known as Inch House, is now Fitz of Inch, the Fitz part coming from Michael Fitzpatrick's name, I guess. And along with more conventional rooms that he will offer you, you can also stay in the Betty, Rita, Mary and Nora tents. And it's also adult only, and it's also dog friendly, and, well, so much more. Michael Fitzpatrick, or Fitz of Inch, welcome to That Great Business Show.
Good evening, how are you?
Fitz of Inch, where did you come up with the name?
Where did we come up with the name? So we really wanted to honour our legacy of our family running the business. So Fitz is the first part of our surname. So that was the main part of that. And then we worked on then to Inch, which is the locality, which is the area. And the house was always called Inch House. So we wanted to keep that little bit of history there as well.
And you say we, but in fact, it's really you, isn't it?
Right? Maybe it might just be me, but yeah, I definitely have sidekicks. The family are around to help when needed, and then I have a good team around me as well.
And what is happening in the hospitality sector that is you? It's competitive, we know that, but you are having to come up with newer and newer and newer ideas just to stand still.
Yeah, I suppose there's a lot of pressure, I suppose, within hospitality because people, I suppose, maybe their attention span is not as long as it used to be. And people are always looking things for something new and they want a whole experience rather than just checking in, checking out and doing their own thing.
But so, do they?
And I think so.
When people want luxury, do you not just want a big comfy bed?
I'd love a comfy bed myself. But I also, we went to, myself and my friends went to Berlin and we stayed in the hotel and we rang them beforehand and we organised a whole lot of activities, sightseeing tours, pub crawls, activities, everything. So it was really handy when we got there then, everything was prearranged for us, which made our stay more enjoyable. And we kind of had a plan then for our stay. So I think when you go away and you don't plan, sometimes you nearly end up wasting your time. In a sense, you don't get to see all the things that maybe you would like to have done or like to do as well. And then the odd spontaneous activity will be nice too.
And you told me before coming on air here that the dogs are a huge draw. Not your dogs, because they are, but the fact that people can bring their dogs with them.
Yes, absolutely. I think the dog travel has really increased. Now that sounds crazy, but people love their pets. I love my pets and they want to bring them with them. They don't want to put them in a kennel where they're going to be left isolated, and they want to bring them with them so they can bring them with them to us and they can just have a ball. There's loads of ground space for them to run around. They're allowed into the house, you know, in the living areas, in the barns, all the gardens. They can bring them out for nice walks. And we have the Barrow Blue Way as well, which is near us. And a lot of people bring their dogs down there for a nice walk in the evenings as well.
And you are on a river.
Yes. The Strapoli River runs right in front of the property and you can see it from the bedrooms, which is quite beautiful.
It's rather gorgeous.
Yeah.
So talk to me about the business. You literally are it, as far as I understand, and you have taken on the mantle. You're only 26.
Yes.
Like you're now you have got a decent apprenticeship in the industry, but it's a big ask to take it on.
Yeah, I suppose there's a lot of responsibility comes to owning your own business and running it, and there's pressures as well. And I suppose COVID was a big pressure point for us as well to
what
try and navigate
COVID?
Through that. Obviously, we were closed for a certain period and then they announced that we can take essential workers. So at the time, the local hospital was quite short staffed. So we ended up taking in a lot of doctors, remedial doctors, that came in to stay. So we greeted them outside and everything. It was very strange because it was nearly depressing because you didn't get to chat to them. You literally just left the key. We had lockboxes set up, so they grabbed their key out of the lockbox and went in themselves. So it was very, I suppose, cold way of running the business. But it kept us going. And I also look at it that, you know, if they didn't stay with us, where would they stay? Would they be able to go into the hospital and provide the care that people needed? So I think in that aspect, that kept us going. And then we had a leash lockdown. And then when that released, it was great as well, because I felt like a lot of people, so a lot of locals really jumped in on our takeaway afternoon teas at the time. They jumped in big time on gift vouchers. So people really supported us in the area and all over Ireland, really, just to keep us going. And that kept us going, which was great. But it gave me a lot of time to kind of maybe do little renovations that I wanted to do some upgrades, loads of things like that as well, which really, really, I needed the time to do it because I was so busy up to that, I didn't have the time to do it.
Go back to the doctors for a second. We love warts and all. Do they cause trouble?
No.
Doctors do. They're bad bunch.
Oh, God. No, I must say, like, they were all so grateful, I suppose, to have somewhere to stay. Yeah. It really
so
was nice.
What I'm hearing is, because I know this is the nature of the chat, is that it's forever trying to come up with something new. Because, yes, you glamp, but lots of other people glamp. Yes, dogs, but lots of people dog.
Yeah.
What else?
So we introduced our campfire music nights during the summer where we brought different artists in, mainly local artists, kind of small artists maybe that haven't had the exposure and it might give them a bit of exposure. So we ran campfire nights, so everyone huddled around the campfire. You can bring your
huddled
own food,
is right.
food, drinks, and you just sat back and enjoyed the atmosphere. You could bring marshmallows, roast them on the campfire. grab a cozy blanket and just sit back and relax and enjoy the music. And that's what it was all about. It was creating that kind of cozy atmosphere for people. And it's something definitely that caught a lot of people's attentions. We had a lot of local people that never really heard of us, that when they seen this was on, they were like, yeah, we're going to jump on this and we're going to go down. And it was lovely. It was great to see them all in and having fun and having the crack again.
I ask this of almost every guest that we have on the podcast is, when you are chasing an audience, when you are looking for people to come and stay with you, it's a hard slog. How many hotels are there in the country?
Oh gosh, there must be hundreds.
Hundreds and hundreds.
A huge amount of 5-star hotels now as well.
And go beyond that, you know, there's all the glamping sites and there's all the B&Bs and. It's tough.
It's tough. And I think a lot of the properties in Ireland, for example, most of the hotels now at this stage are big chain hotels, you know. And I suppose once that happens, I suppose they do lose a certain amount of authenticity. Like, you know, they become very clinical, for want of a better word. And I suppose that's where we stand out. We're not clinical, we're personal. You deal with myself or one of the team before you come, we email, we're calling you, we're helping you plan your day. We're just making it as special as possible, where hotels and, you know, maybe other venues don't have that personal element with people.
It remains difficult though, because what are you offering that others can't offer?
I suppose exclusivity. So when you rent with us, you're renting the whole entire property. So it is just you. So we would have a lot of high profile clients that would come stay with us that just want to get away from everything and not be recognised for who they are. And, you know, it's really nice to be able to give them that space, because we all need that space to escape and nearly, in inverted commas, disappear and just enjoy life, I suppose.
And then do you organise activities for them when they yes. land? Because, like, you are not near anywhere really, are you?
No, and that's the beauty of it. Most people don't ever really go out of Fitz of Inch when they come in, because we bring everything into them, which is
food.
We work with catering, we work with private chefs, and we work with activity providers, casino nights, everything. We do everything.
Tell me more, because this is new to me. I didn't know about the casinos, for example.
Yeah, so
what else?
We work with the company really closely that hosts casino nights for us, if the guest wants to do that.
I think they're great fun.
Yeah, they're so much fun. They're absolutely, we do. There's a local guy that does amazing African drumming circle lessons.
I saw that as well, yeah.
That's so much fun. And I think especially for hen parties, it's something different, because, you know, I suppose we've all been on the hen and stag where you see the same activities been every single time. Whereas when there's something different like that, it's really good and it's really fun. It makes people kind of engage, get better, talk to each other, especially a lot of these groups. Maybe some of them for a hen party or a stag, maybe they don't know each other. They're all friends of the one person. But an activity like that can really kind of get people to kind of pull together, like a corporate event, I suppose, idea as well.
Well, you must be so different in one sense, because most hotels and other venues are now trying to ban their stags and their hens.
Yes.
But you're attracting them.
We are. You know what? We are. And I think they love that they have their place themselves. You know, if you go to maybe a hen party in a hotel, you have to be out at the bar at this time and you have to have music off at this time. And, you know, there's loads of restrictions, I suppose, whereas we're a little bit more free. And we have certain rules that we ask people to abide by. And,
such as?
And they're all abided by. That music stops at 1 p.m. You know, that they don't break anything. Don't be standing, jumping on tables and, you know, no smoking indoors, all that kind of thing, you know. And they're all quite simple. And people are very respectful, I suppose. They all know that you know, if they do damage at something, they have to replace it.
How many people can you handle?
30.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they go down and you take over the entire, or yeah. they take over the entire. Now, you don't need to name names, but what kind of clientele would you have?
So we would have famous musicians. We've
oh,
had
hang
famous
on a second now. A famous musician. Now. That has me thinking, yeah. what? Sorry for me, for my asking this question. Why would a famous musician want to go down?
Because they want to take a break with their friends.
Okay.
And they don't want to be seen in a nightclub in Dublin or in Paris or in London.
That famous.
Whereas they can go have their party with us and just, it's you know, it's
when I find
discreet.
Out who this famous person is, I will put it up on LinkedIn. So yeah. Who else? What are the kinds of people do you have?
We've had dignitaries from abroad.
Really?
You know, now, from the Middle East as well.
How would a dignitary from the Middle East find you?
So a lot of their PR, their agents would go scouting in Ireland. A lot of us people would find us too direct. And I suppose at this stage, we have a good reputation with a lot of high profile clients that we tend to get recommended from one to the other, which is nice.
But somebody has to do the work on that. And yes. I'm coming back to the same point. Yes. The person who is loaded with that seems to be sitting in front of me because he's the same guy who's doing the repairs, the same guy who has to make sure the music goes off at 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
Do you ever stop?
No, rarely. About once a year, I take a holiday for a month and the staff run it while I'm away, but I still do emails when I'm away and I still am doing marketing when I'm away and I'm still on the computer. So I suppose you don't get a break. And I suppose that's a big part of running your own business. But I suppose you have to learn when to kind of step back and take a little bit of a breather. You know, we changed our office hours this year, which is the first time we really changed phone call office hours and email office hours. So we are now stopping phone call and emails at 8 o'clock at night because we do get calls very late at night.
Such as, so people want to book,
some people would
or?
Ring at maybe 11:30 at night. Do you have availability? Some people would ring, I left my watch behind. Do you still have it? I'm sitting here at home panicking about it. And they could ring at ridiculous hours, you know, for something, but yeah.
And where does a hotelier go for his month's holiday?
Well, this summer I went to Crete.
This summer?
Yes.
You take the summer off?
Yes, I took during the summer, yeah.
Is that not the height of the season or the height of
it
your...
Is. But I suppose for me, it's a breaking period. So, you know, the start of the summer is very busy and then the mid is obviously very busy and then the end. But I think you need a break in the middle to make sure that when you come back, you're all
month.
Refreshed for the rest of it.
For a month?
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice.
I have a wonderful team. They're very good and they're very competent to be able to do their job.
Okay, what's the big plan? What are you hoping to do? Can you double the numbers of rooms or double the...
So we hope to expand in the next kind of coming year. So we're not exactly sure on the timeline of that. That's between five and 10 years. And then also I'm launching a new business, hopefully coming up now in the next month or two.
And what is that business?
I can't say at the moment. So you're just going to have to wait and hear about that.
LinkedIn. Well, give me a sense of what kind of a business it might be.
It's a travel-related business, yes. Okay. It's a travel and hospitality-related
but
business.
But are you not busy enough already? No. Obviously
no,
not.
No. I love keep going. I never stop. And everyone says that to
me. There won't be any holidays for a month in the middle
no,
of summer.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. If I do this, it won't. No.
And the I have to ask, because since I wrote them down here, is that the Betty, Rita, Mary and Nora tents. Who are Betty, Rita, Mary and Nora?
So the inspiration really was motherhood and the mother figure in everyone's life. So we kind of picked, I suppose, four traditional names that would be associated with, you know, a mother or a granny that kind of has that loving, caring feeling about them. And that was the kind of atmosphere that we wanted to create in the glamping as well. So
you just made them
yeah.
up?
Yeah.
Okay.
We just made them
well,
up.
That's allowed, yeah.
There's one or two that have some special meaning to us, but I won't say why, but there's some
family
names.
That's the third thing for LinkedIn. Good God, I won't be off LinkedIn. So yeah. Back to the business again. Can you go 52 weeks a year? Or?
Yes, so we run all year round. Yeah.
What happens in the depths of winter? You don't glamp in the depths of winter, do you?
No, so we lose the tenting in the winter and then we just have to reduce our numbers at that point for the winter period. And then so the winter period is generally from October until April and then the glamping is the rest of it.
That's because that's winter in Ireland, isn't it?
Yeah. And you never know, you might get winter during the summer as well. So.
We do that as well.
Yeah.
And when you get down to those kind of numbers, can people come to you for Christmas Day, Christmas Eve? Christmas?
Yeah, so I suppose we're blocked off for Christmas. We take a family break for Christmas ourselves. That's
a second
the only
now.
Period.
So far, you've had a month off. Now you're taking another 2 weeks off, is it?
We take a week, yeah.
I'm beginning to wonder whether you work.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tell me more about the kinds of problems that you run into in running your kind of an event venue.
I suppose you can run into problems where people aren't always forthcoming with information in the sense of maybe some people might try to bring some extra people with them.
Really?
People don't.
But it's a bit obvious.
People don't plan.
But hang on a second. I say 10 people coming down. Mm. And like, you know, I'm sure you can count from 1 to 10. Mm. And people still try to sneak people in?
People still try, yeah.
And how far does that go? Do they put them into the boots of cars and stuff and sneak them in that way?
Well, or? I suppose they will kind of, when I kind of maybe walk away from them, another car might appear. But, you know, look, I mean, I'm not going to give out to anyone for bringing an extra person, but there is an extra fee cost
of course
to bringing someone else. So, but generally nobody seems to have a problem with it. And most people don't try and sneak them in per se. They just kind of forget, they forgot to have told me, oh God, you know, Betty added herself into the group. You know, and also you have drop-offs as well. So people will cancel last minute from the group as well, you know, and that
can be
kind
so of, frustrating.
It can, because if we have organised activities, we'll have all that paid for as a business. And then,
what do you,
you
do?
Know, we're down because they have their cancellation policies. So we end up having to cover it. So,
and you just take the pain.
We end up have to, sometimes, yeah, we have to. Yeah.
Well, that's a pain in itself. That yeah. is a pain. What else? Yeah. What other problems?
Oh, gosh. Well, we don't really have... Our clientele, as I said, is quite a nice clientele. We do have security deposits in place. So if there is damages or anything like that, they can be covered quite easily. But there is a time element to that as well of getting that replaced. You mightn't have the item that they broke for the next group that might be coming in because you mightn't have enough time to have got that new item. So that maybe can sometimes leave somebody a little bit less... They mightn't have the same experience. Maybe the karaoke machine breaks and we can't get one quite quickly to enough for the next group that's coming in, maybe the next day. So that can be a challenge, I suppose, as well. And then you have, I suppose, you have people that don't plan, that come and kind of expect you then to have everything planned. Now, we do send out planning emails with people. We do arrange phone calls, but some people's plans just go skew-ways. But we do our best to really like help them and get them through them. And, you know, you can have guests. I suppose in hospitality you can be a therapist nearly as well, because you're dealing with a lot of stress, you're dealing a lot with personal life, you're dealing with friendship dynamics, family dynamics when they come down. So it's all about kind of keeping them all smooth as well, and that can be a challenge.
What's the longest stay anybody has been with you?
About 2 weeks.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the shortest you can do an overnight?
Shortest is one night. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I'm back to the business again in terms of its growth. Like, you have plans. I can see it in your eyes.
Yes.
What? Share with me what that growth is. How can you fund that?
I suppose we've turned over a good profit this year, thank goodness. And I suppose COVID really gave us a great platform online for people to kind of get to know who we are, what we're about. And I think, you know, online reviews as well have been really generous to us as well. People have shared their really positive experiences. And that really has
I didn't
given
look
us growth.
Up your reviews. Mm. Did you get any negative ones?
Of course. Yeah, absolutely. And I think every property does.
What do you do?
Well, we reach out to the guests and figure out. Mostly people will try and tell us beforehand. We try and encourage people to say, look, if you have anything wrong, you know, and things go wrong. We're not perfect. We're only human at the end of the day, and things do go wrong. And we just try and deal with them as best as we can. But I do think there are a lot of Irish people in general. I'm not criticizing Irish people, but Irish people tend not to tell you something until after it.
That's right, yeah.
And then you
That's our way.
Then you can't do anything about it. And then that leaves them feeling sour. But I suppose if you're ever staying anywhere, to anyone listening, I'd encourage you, if you do have a problem, tell them there and then. The issue will be fixed as soon as possible. You know, and most of the things are kind of quite small things, you know.
Final question we ask everybody. Who would Michael Fitzpatrick hire in a heartbeat?
I would hire Barbara Corcoran.
Okay. And why would you hire Barbara?
I suppose she's a very strong, independent woman. She's created a tremendous business. I suppose she started out in real estate and then she was very famous for being on the Den in the US.
And Shark I suppose, Tank, isn't it?
Yeah, Shark yeah. Tank, yeah. And she knows who she is and she's not afraid to, I suppose, put her rules down and keep them in place and run a successful business that way, because in a business you have to have rules and you have people looking for refunds and different things like that. And I suppose if you gave a refund to everyone for cancelling without outside their cancellation free cancellation period, you'd have nothing left. And I suppose sometimes you have to be tough in business.
Has Barbara Corcoran ever stayed with you?
No.
Ah, I thought you were, I was finally going to find a name.
You thought it
get
might be
name.
One of those people.
But she's invited, of course, isn't
of
she?
Of course, absolutely. Anytime. I'd love to have her.
Cool. Michael Fitzpatrick, He is Fitz of Inch. I love that name. You should call yourself Lord Fitz of Inch. It would lend itself to that. Thank you so much for joining us on That Great Business Show.
If it's for sale, it's on daft.ie, Ireland's number one property website. Whether you're looking for your first home or planning your next move, make sure you're on daft.ie. The best place to buy or sell in Ireland.
De Facto, the revolutionary shaving oil, changing the face of shaving. For the smoothest shave of your life, just add water. No more lathering up or cleaning up afterward. Just add a few drops of water and you're ready to go. De Facto's blend of all natural oils hydrates and protects your skin. No more razor burns or irritation. A spa treatment for your face. Perfect for all skin types and lasts so much longer than traditional foams or gels. De Facto, a shaving revolution. Just add water. Available from selected pharmacies and from defactoshave.com.
It's all go, let Chrissy know on thatgreatbusinessshow.com.
That Great Business Show.
And that's it from That Great Business Show, episode 163. Great business insights and inspiration. All thanks to our lovely sponsor, daft.ie, Ireland's number one property website. If you're looking for your first home or maybe you're looking to upsize or downsize, make sure you visit daft.ie to find the next place you call home. Sign up for email updates and we'll send you your own personal copy of the podcast at thatgreatbusinessshow.com. And that's the place to go if you would like to advertise to our finest business audience in the land. We record here at the Dublin South Podcast Studios, where the sound quality is always restful and relaxed. And our relaxation guru today is studio engineer Alison O'Dwyer. Later, our laid-back studio manager Peter Rice will embed our chats with his dreamlike magic, ensuring we are the world's best-sounding business podcast. So from me, Conal Moran, buichas to you all, agus slán tamhle.